All right, I'd like to call to order the March 3rd Oro Valley Planning and Zoning regular session. Mrs. Anacona, can you please do a roll call?
Chair Gamble?
Here.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Here.
Commissioner Bergsma?
Here.
Commissioner Hurst?
Here.
Commissioner Hong?
Here.
Commissioner Posey?
Here.
Commissioner Sturman?
Here.
Let the record show we have a quorum.
All right, thank you. If you can all stand and follow in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I'd like to welcome everybody out. A couple of housekeeping items. Before we get started, there are restrooms and a water fountain out the double doors to the right. And if you wish to address the commission on any agenda item or during the call to the audience, please fill out one of the blue cards located on the back table and hand that to our recording secretary. All right, so we'll start with our call to the audience, and at this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action on what matters or on matters raised during the call to the audience. In order to speak during call to the audience, please specify what you wish to discuss when completing the comment card on the blue speaker or the blue speaking comment cards. We don't have any of that, so I will open and close the call to the audience. And I'd like to recognize Vice Mayor Barrett on the stand and turn the time over to her for some council liaison comments.
Okay, thank you. I saw at the recent Parks and Recreation meeting I attended, Councilmember Jones Ivey gave a nice report about some other things that were happening in Oro Valley, and I liked that to kind of keep the commission in touch with the many things going on in Oro Valley. So I want to give a little bit of a report about that. This last Friday, we had our council retreat for our upcoming budget series, where we went over and looked at our two-year strategic plan that was passed last year and got an update. Things are progressing along nicely with accomplishing several of the things on our strategic plan, and the Planning and Zoning Commission has been involved in some of those things. So thank you. That was good. And as you know, we've recently appointed our new police chief, Kara Riley. So we're all excited about that. And we're currently undergoing a Parks and Rec needs assessment for the town. And there's been opportunities for public comment on the planyourparksov.com website. And we've hired a consultant to help us with that. And I think it's headed into the phase of the statistically valid survey, which will be sent to specified homes in order to get that statistically valid information. And we also are working on the construction of a playground at Naranja Park. And so if you've tried to go there, as you'll know, you have to use an alternative entrance up from the north of Tangerine on Musette Drive to get into the park. So we've been able to keep the fields and things open, so that's good. And then with regards to planning and zoning things, on February 5th, the council had a second study session on the two code amendments for the commercial and for the EEZ properties. On February 19th, we approved a final plat for the Tranquilo subdivision in Rancho Vistoso and the dedication of a public trail easement for a portion of trail number 322 adjacent to the Big Wash trailhead. So I know that was kind of a long time coming, and people are happy about that trailhead being approved. March 4th, which is tomorrow, council is going to hear what the Planning and Zoning Commission discussed about the Vistoso Shopping Center and the request for the Vistoso PAD amendment and landscape plan to allow that constructed buffer yard along Oracle Road to provide more visibility for the shopping center there. March 18th, we'll hear the Push Ridge Christian Academy Public Art, which is on tonight's Planning and Zoning Commission agenda. And April 1st, we'll have discussion and possible action on those two code amendments. So that's kind of some things that we've done and where we're looking forward to go regarding the planning and zoning. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. All right. We will now proceed with our regular session agenda. Ms. Ancona, will you please read out item number one?
Review and approval of the February 4th, 2020 regular session meeting minutes.
Is there a motion?
Make motion to approve.
I'll second.
Okay. Did you get that in the microphone? Mm-hmm. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Let the record show that it passed. And will you please read agenda item number two?
Discussion and possible action regarding conceptual public art for the Push Ridge Christian Academy, located east of Oracle Road between Chi Concordia and Linda Vista Boulevard, 2000053.
All right, thank you. I will turn the time over to staff for their presentation.
All right, thank you, Chair Gamble. Good evening. My name is Hannah Oden, and I'm a senior planner with the Town of Oro Valley. The purpose of this case is to consider conceptual public art for Push Ridge Christian Academy. The town zoning code does require public art for all new non-residential developments. Numerous art pieces have been installed on the campus over the years, including a performing arts amphitheater. The applicant is requesting to use eligible artwork on campus to satisfy the town's public art requirement for current and future building expansion at the campus. The proposal has been reviewed for conformance with the design principles and design standards of the zoning code. The proposal will ultimately require approval from town council, so this case is presented tonight for discussion and possible recommendation. So to orient ourselves, the subject property, Push Ridge Christian Academy, is outlined here in yellow. It is located east of Oracle Road, between Linda Vista Boulevard to the north and Chi Concordia to the south. Coronado National Forest is along the eastern boundary, and across Oracle Road to the west is the Oro Valley Aquatic Center and Canyon del Oro High School. So the applicant is requesting to use existing eligible artworks on campus to satisfy the town's public art requirement. Numerous pieces from qualifying artists have been installed over the years, starting in 2006. So this includes multiple ceramic tile mosaics by Santa Teresa Tile Works, a couple examples of which are shown at the top two images on the screen. A wooden cross by Argentina Polo and Leather Company, which is shown here on the upper left-hand side. And a custom sundial by John Carmichael, and that's shown here on the lower left, right-hand side of the screen. The applicant is also proposing to use an existing performing arts amphitheater on campus to satisfy the public art requirement, and that is shown here on the lower left. And the amphitheater is primarily used for school performances, but is open and available to the public. So this slide shows current and future expansion on campus that conforms to the previously approved development plan. So currently under construction is Building 3, which is outlined here in orange, and a modular building as well. So current expansion on campus are the footprints outlined in orange, and the future expansion are the footprints which are in green. And again, those were part of the approved development plan. So the proposed public art will satisfy the requirement for current and future building expansion on campus as shown on this slide. So the Oro Valley Zoning Code does require public art for all new non-residential development in Oro Valley. So this includes expansions of 25% or more, or when public art has not been previously provided, as is the case with this application. The required budget for public art must be 1% of the total building permit valuation for a project. And a portion of the 1% may be used to construct on-site performing arts facilities that are open and available to the public. The proposed art must also conform to the design principles and design standards of the zoning code, which I'll discuss in the following slide. So the first thing that we'll look at is the quality and diversity of the existing art. So they are all original pieces by various qualified artists. They do have a variety of styles and materials. So you have things from wood, the ceramic tile, to metal materials that have been used. And they do complement the larger theme of the campus. The materials that have been used and the art pieces are also durable. Again, they've were installed starting in 2006 using materials that are appropriate to the Sonoran Desert climate. So they've held up well over the years, and they do require minimum maintenance. There's also maintenance staff on campus that ensures that the artwork is taken care of. Visibility and integration. So the art pieces, there's this image here shows some prominent locations where the pieces are placed, and the amphitheater is right here in the middle. But they are placed in focal locations on campus near the main campus entrance as well as the building entrances. They are integrated into the larger campus. The amphitheater is used for, again, performances, classes, and gathering spaces for students. So again, they are placed in visible and prominent locations. And they are scaled appropriately to the campus as well. The amphitheater is fairly large, as well as the cross and the sundial. They are appropriate to the context of the campus. So in summary, the proposed artwork does meet the town's 1% public art requirement and is consistent with the design principles and design standards of the zoning code. And as such, staff recommends approval. So this concludes my presentation, and the applicant is also here tonight to present additional details about the proposed public art.
All right, thank you. We will turn the time over to the applicant for that.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Planning Commission, my name is Bill Hallinan. I'm a volunteer for Push Ridge Christian Academy. I guess I first got involved with the school when our middle son was getting in trouble in junior high, and we said, well, we need to try something different. And he's now a police officer with the Mesa Police Department, so it worked out pretty good for us. But Hannah does such a good job on the technical side. I get to show just the fun stuff and the pretty pictures that we have over at the school there. That's one of the Santa Teresa works there in one of the gathering places at the school. That one's another Santa Teresa tile on a fire pit gathering place at the school. And that's a sundial. It's a multi-purpose art piece in the sense that it's supposed to be educational as well as lending appreciation to the arts. And that's the complimentary piece by Santa Teresa tile there. And that's a cross imported for the campus as an art piece. And there's more Santa Teresa tile works. And one more. And then this is the performing arts facility. I love the quote at the base of it. one of our famous Shakespeare quotes. And it really is a performing arts facility. And some fun pictures of the kids at the performing arts facility. And there's a music event at the performing arts facility. And we did a breakout of the cost for the performing arts facility. That was like $280,000. Really, the school's goal is to, obviously, to make arts a very important part of education, but as the campus continues to expand, to show the money that's been expended as a credit that applies to future facilities. And then this is the addition that's going up right now. It's about a $3 million budget, but about a third of it is actually arts related. There's drama class, there's a pottery and music practice rooms, and it's really a a commitment to the arts, but no credits being asked for that. That doesn't fit the code. But thought you'd appreciate seeing what the school's commitment to arts is. And I'm here if you have any questions.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll turn the time over. Did any commissioners have questions, comments?
Yes.
Commissioner Posey, I'll start with you.
Thank you, Chairman Campbell. I'm sorry, I'm not really familiar with the school. Is it K through 12?
It is, but not at this campus. It's got it's got another facility over on Skyline Drive. That's K through 6, and this is junior high and high school.
This is junior high. Okay. Well, I guess that helps with the next question. I was thinking about the safety aspects of the sculptures and the metal part. Do y'all go through school at the summertime or?
Not. There's events and programs during the summer, but generally it's closed during the summer.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking about the heat and the possibility of somebody getting hurt from the sculptures, but I guess that they're not little. It's really small that it would be helpful.
No, I understand where you're coming from. So
okay.
But, hopefully by junior high they've got that figured out, but with kids you can never tell for sure.
Well, that's true.
But it stood the test of time. A lot of these have been out there for years now. So
okay, nobody's gotten hurt.
No,
that's great.
Thanks.
Okay, Commissioner Bergsma.
Yes, I do have a question. So this particular school was first established when? Do you know the year approximately?
Well, it was built decades ago, but it became Push Ridge Christian Academy about 20 years ago, and then the first expansion of that took place about 5 years ago.
So the buildings were there before it became Push Ridge Christian Academy?
Yeah, okay. It was formerly a Christian school as well, but they sold bonds to build the building and didn't quite have money set aside to repay the bonds.
Okay. So then I guess I have a question for staff. When was the 1% for art requirement established? It sounds like it was after this campus was built.
Hannah, do you want me to take that? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I know some of the history from before Hannah was around here. So when we built the first addition out there, the understanding with staff at the time was that the performing arts facility would qualify for the arts. Unfortunately, we never did a really good job of documenting that, and the first building that was assumed to be qualified. But when we were going forward, we said, okay, we built this performing arts facility before, it should apply for this next building. And lo and behold, we really didn't have a good paper trail documenting, and Hannah's done a fantastic job making sure we have all of our T's crossed and I's dotted as far as conforming with the program.
Okay. So basically we're applying this requirement just to the new buildings, and there's no look back on the previous construction on the property.
Yes, Chair Gamble, Commissioner Bergsma, that is correct. It would be for the buildings that have that are currently under construction, as well as future expansion.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Are there any other questions? All right. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion that we approve. I'm sorry. Move to recommend or approve of conceptual public art, including under approved cost and attachments 1 for Push Ridge Christian Academy, based on the findings that it meets design principles and design standards of the zoning code.
I'll second that.
Okay. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Let the record reflect that the motion passed 7-0. Then can Ms. Ancona, will you please read out agenda item number 3? Oh, and actually I would like to welcome Bill Rodman, one of our town council members, to the meeting as well. Thanks for coming.
Okay.
Item three, discussion regarding a town council request to explore if architectural design standards should be applied to custom homes.
All right, I will turn the time over to staff for their presentation.
Thank you. Good evening, my name is Patty Hayes. I'm with the town's Planning and Zoning Division. The focus of tonight's meeting is to explore the town's design standards in relationship to custom homes. We hope to foster a productive conversation tonight and leave here with a clear understanding about the facts and issues that we will learn about a little bit more in just a moment. And we'll also learn about the list of options the staff has developed that range from no action at all to a major shift in the custom home approval process. This project is a result of concerns from a group of neighbors who asked town council to explore this issue tonight. First, I want to start with describing the subject of tonight's meeting, custom homes. I want to discuss the difference between a custom home and other houses such as model homes. A custom home is one house built by one owner of one lot. Most often, custom homes are built on large lots. Construction plans for custom homes are examined by town staff for compliance with the zoning code standards, which include building heights, setbacks, lighting, and grading. If the proposed plans meet all of the required zoning standards, a permit is issued and inspections are conducted throughout the construction of the custom home. In the past, the town has only regulated the exterior appearance of two-story custom homes, but never have we regulated all custom homes. For the most part, custom homes far exceed the town's design standards. Model homes are houses built repetitively by a developer of a subdivision such as Richmond American, Pulte, and Maracay, and other production home builders. All model homes can be built many dozens of times in one neighborhood, usually on small lots. Due to the fact that model homes can be built many, many times, those houses are subject to the town's design standards and reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission. As I mentioned in my first slide, the focus of tonight's meeting is custom homes and design standards. So what are design standards? Well, that's a section of the zoning code that establishes certain requirements for the exterior appearance of commercial buildings, apartments, and model homes. Certain features of a building addressed in the design standards include color values, types of materials, roofline, and facade articulation. Design standards do not apply to custom homes. As I mentioned earlier, custom homes are usually only built once and most often on large lots. There is usually more separation between custom homes, which usually means less visual impact of the building. The design standards are meant to address projects that have greater impacts to the community, such as model homes, which are built repetitively and usually on smaller lots. Typically, we see custom homes that are built in styles that many of us are used to seeing. These custom homes are generally built with traditional styles, materials, and colors that far exceed the design standards like we see on this slide. But sometimes we also see a variety of more specialized custom homes that appeal to the homeowner's specific design style, such as a southern style home, or perhaps a contemporary design. Sometimes we see custom homes that are built with unique designs that even further cater to a homeowner's specific design tastes or lifestyles. Occasionally, we even see a custom home that embraces the homeowner's unique personality or passion. Many residents who seek out living on large lots without a homeowner association do so in order to have more design flexibility and use of their property. So why are we here tonight? Two of these unique custom homes were built in close proximity to each other. The two homes are of a certain design that caused neighbors to be concerned about how the town regulates custom homes. The homes were built to accommodate the homeowner's personal lifestyles, which include auto collections and personal gyms. As I mentioned earlier, a custom home is held to the zoning standards, such as height, lighting, setbacks, and grading. The exterior design is not part of the custom home review. Now, we did have the opportunity to see many varieties of buildings near these homes on our site tour with the commission over the last few days. We saw that large metal buildings are used for things such as airplane hangars, horse arenas, garages, and yes, even homes. The nearby neighbors became concerned about the design of these homes, and there was a special concern about the one on the bottom photo, because it is in a highly visible location. Those neighbors made a request to town council to ask staff to look into this issue. Staff was asked to look into some options about what to do next, and that is what generated this study session tonight. To clarify, staff was only asked to explore this issue and to not make changes to the code at this time. Now, for a moment, I want to take a small detour in my presentation because up until now, I've only talked about the exterior of houses. But one issue you might hear about tonight is the use of interior spaces of the home. Some custom homes can be very large due to the homeowner's hobbies, passions, or lifestyle. Some folks like to have indoor recreation amenities such as pools and bowling alleys or spaces that accommodate hobbies that they enjoy. The choice to install these types of features inside of the home will typically make the home very large. The size and use of indoor spaces of the two homes I mentioned earlier was also a concern to neighbors. Therefore, I am bringing up the issue tonight. Regulating the interior spaces of homes can be very problematic, and there is really no legal nexus to begin regulating the size of those spaces. The interior use of a home does not necessarily have a relation to the exterior finish of the house. Staff looked into how widespread the lack of design control related to custom homes is throughout the town. So over the past 3 years, we have issued 926 permits for houses. 832 of those permits were issued for model homes. So remember, model homes are houses built repetitively by a housing developer like D.R. Horton and Meritage and are held to the design standards, which are reviewed and approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission. But over those last 3 years, 94 of those 926 custom home or housing permits, were for custom homes. And out of those 94 custom home permits, only 33 of those houses were built in areas without homeowners association architectural control or applicability to our design standards. So when we consider the options to address the design standard issue tonight, keep in mind that history tells us that we are only talking about an average of 4% of the homes built each year. So what does the future look like? What does the future custom home building statistic look like? Currently, the town has approximately 681 vacant residential building lots that could contain a custom home. 133 of those lots are located in areas that do not have homeowner association controls. If the same building pace continues, as it has over the past 3 years, then approximately 10 homes per year would be built in the town that do not meet the design standards or have architectural control by a homeowner association. So again, when considering the options the staff will present tonight, keep these statistics in mind. All right, so I trust that you've all had the opportunity to review the table of options that staff provided in attachment one of the staff report. As I mentioned earlier, our goal is to have a productive discussion about design standards and custom homes and these options. So first we have option one, do nothing, make no change. Well, why? The issue is not widespread and is detailed in the home building statistics. The issue is not, does not include a large number of homes. These complaints were only about two houses. Why penalize future custom home builders for an issue that only a handful of people had with two recently built houses? Option two, possibly develop a specialized list of design standards targeted to a limited group of lots. This could help control some architectural designs of homes. This may not be well received by current and future custom home lot owners, but it could reduce the risk of those outlier home designs. Option three, require all custom homes to go through an architectural design review. This would clamp down on home designs for all lots, but add longer review times and more stringent regulations. But again, is this issue widespread enough to warrant such regulations? When we look to the town's general plan, we see words such as creative and variety when referencing housing. Whichever direction this case follows, we must make sure the goals and policies of the general plan are met. After this discussion tonight, we expect to have a neighborhood-style meeting with the affected property owners, most likely on March 25th, followed by an April public meeting with commission, and then followed by meetings with town council. Our task tonight is to discuss the custom home and design standards issue and talk about the possible options. And this concludes my report. Thank you, Chair and Commission.
All right, thank you. And then I would like to also just mention this is a study session, so I want everybody to focus not so much on their opinions, but on questions that we have regarding all of these three options. All right. So does anyone want to start?
One of the things that I was amazed by when we did the site tours is in some cases the newer structures were almost free of any type of landscaping or buffering to soften that whole appearance. And I was thinking about option two, where there would be a sub-design level that maybe that, you know, should be considered or evaluated. But that's my perception. So.
Thanks, Chair Harrington.
Chair Gemmel and commissioners, as we looked at some of the homes and some of the designs, we understand why some of the homeowners purchased their homes and have custom homes, and they have the exercises and levels of variety, in which variety sometimes is good, but I understand some of the complaints may come from some of the other homeowners want to retain values of their current homes as well. So I think we need to take that into consideration as we look through the separate three options there. It's the individual homeowners, which they've built those homes for a reason, and specific reasons to their needs and wants and goals. But I think we also need to take an effect of the other homeowners who also live in those areas as their home values may play a factor as well.
Commissioner, if I also may add, so to add on to that, so there are only three options here, and the proving body for all three options are actually none or the Planning Commission or the staff only. I was wondering, where is the neighbor's voice? The neighboring, you know, houses, they may have more opinions than we do, and they actually are the ones who actually have to see these houses and live amongst these custom-built homes. So possibly an option four, or just how to, you know, just consider how to, you know, get the neighbors involved in the review process, maybe something to consider.
Okay, did you guys get that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Bergsma?
Yes, first of all, I'd like to thank staff for taking us on a tour of some of the custom home areas, including the two that have been raised as the biggest concerns. But it was an interesting tour. I appreciate that. The thing that struck me after going on that tour is that we're not just talking about the homes themselves, but the accessory dwellings, whether it's a garage, or a hangar for an airplane, something like that. So if we're going to talk about design standards, we need to talk about standards not just for the residences, but also for the accessory buildings on a property. The other thing, getting back to what Commissioner Sturman was saying, is that certainly landscaping can soften the effect of any building, the second home that we looked at that's around the corner from the one just off of Tangerine. Certainly it's made out of materials that you typically don't see in a nice home, metal siding, but it's set back quite a ways. There's a lot of landscaping that's in between the building and the street. So I don't think the effect of that is nearly as much as the first one, which is just off of Tangerine, which of course is a scenic corridor. And right on a corner. So I think we have to look at the context before we come to a conclusion about what kind of standards we want to apply.
Chair Gamble? Yeah. I think that after looking at the houses in the tour, which was an excellent tour, by the way, enlightening. I think we're looking at a solution that needs to find a problem rather than a problem that needs to find a solution. There's so little problem, shall we say, with the custom home non-review issue that, you know, for example, over the past 3 years, we said that 2% of the problem properties were in non-HOA areas. Well, that's in over the last 3 years. How long have we been building custom homes in Oro Valley? And we only have two problems. We're looking to apply, find a problem so we can apply a solution to it. I don't know that there's a problem that needs to be solved. I think we need to, you know, examine that a little bit further before we start saying, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that. You know, it's worked out. The government hasn't told these people what to do, and it seems to be working out just fine.
So I have a question. What kind of additional time constraints does this place on staff if we were to approve any of these options? You know, how much time does that add to your guys' jobs in the review process that so currently we have none. So if we add all of these design standards, what does that look like? How does that change your day-to-day when you're dealing with them?
Chair Gamble. So if we went the extreme and applied the design standards that require the full commission review, that would add probably a couple of months of review time to a custom home permit because staff would have to get a report ready. We do noticing, get it scheduled for a hearing, do the presentation like we did tonight. That all takes a little bit of time. So we're taking, you know, a couple months easily onto someone's custom home review. If we went with some sort of middle ground with a staff review of some design standards, it would probably add time to the applicant really more because chances are we would be denied, and especially in the beginning, because this would be brand new for everyone. We would be denying a lot of home permits, possibly, and saying, you know, now you have to meet these design standards, so take that book back and redesign your home. That could add a lot of time for the applicant with that. That's probably something we could, you know, educate them and move forward after a while. So once they would get educated, maybe it would add, you know, just a few more days of review time if we went with staff review.
Okay, and how, the cost of that, would that fall onto the applicant, or is that something that the town just pays for?
It would fall to the applicant.
Okay. And then, I have one more for Mr. Andrews. I'm wondering kind of what the legality of implementing different restrictions on lots that currently have no restrictions in regards to Prop 207. Can you speak to that? I know certain things are a definite yes, like restricting building size, correct? We would not be able to do that.
Chair Gamble, I'm going to be really evasive because that's what attorneys do. Anytime we do anything that could cause a reduction in value to the owner, and that's always going to be subjective, there can be a problem. Now, I'm not going to go into a deep legal analysis, but if we need, before you vote on this, we can have an executive session where I can tell you that, because it doesn't make sense to give a lot of legal advice in public session whereby you give instructions on to the people on how to sue the town, which is really not a good idea, or how to get damages out of the town, or not. But anytime we do something that can cause a reduction in the value of the property, there are issues. And I think it's ARS 12-1134 is the section that deals with what we always call Prop 207.
Okay. All right. Evasive, yes. Thank you. All right. Commissioner Bergsma.
Thank you. So the application design standards, however widespread it might be, the standards could be unique to custom homes. It wouldn't have to be based on the standards that are presently applied to model homes. Is that correct?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Bergsma, that would be up to the commission to decide that.
All right. So we can make them as broad or as narrow as we would like. We could just say we don't want metal siding, and that's it. Anything else goes.
You could certainly make up just any design standards you would feel necessary. Interesting slide on that. Let's see. Oh, I don't have the. Let's look at. I have a picture of a metal building. So the picture on the left-hand side, top left, that's actually a metal building. It was designed to be fire-resistant. I guess the former house that was sitting there had burned down, so the new owners had this home designed. So if you were going to flat-out prohibit metal buildings, we might want some detail on that, or unless you'd want to, you know, prohibit the type that you see on the left also.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Gamble, if I might throw another wrench into the works. From the legal aspect, if we're going to be regulating design, we need to make sure that we have a good zoning reason for regulating. I understand that we may want to do something, but what it comes down to is we still have to have a good acceptable reason, and the words arbitrary and capricious reasons don't stand up very well in court. So we need to put some thought behind what we're trying to do versus just, oh, we don't like this, so let's prohibit this. Well, we need to have a good reason for prohibiting something.
Okay. If I may ask, would it be possible to bring this item to be voted upon or to be considered by the neighboring homeowners? Or, I don't know, to, you know, put it on some sort of ballot and then have the township instead of...
Chair Campbell, Commissioner Hong... The problem is local governments don't have the ability to place items for the vote. That would be that's a different animal. They have that in some places in this country, but in Arizona, we don't have the ability to place something on a ballot for a vote such as this. It's something we'd have to vote on, and then the residents have the idea behind it. If they would like to, they can run a referendum on it. We don't want to encourage that. We want to adopt good codes so that that's not the follow-on.
And Chair Gamble, if I can add on to that too, Member Wong. So following this discussion, we will be bringing this item back for a public hearing. So there will be an opportunity for neighbors to have a part of during that conversation at that time. So there will be an opportunity for neighbors to weigh in.
Okay, thank you. Vice Chair
Hampton.
Gamble. We'll do Vice Chair Harrington and then.
My question is for staff. Have we looked into, I'm sure this is not a new issue or a new zoning problem, have we looked into other communities to see what they're doing for as their custom, any codes or problems that they've had with custom home buildings?
Chair Gamble, Commissioner Harrington, yes, actually, we did look at other jurisdictions. By and large, we found that they really don't regulate design. We found one jurisdiction that had something, lots of a certain size. If you were under, I think it was 16,000 square feet, then they would apply some design standards if you were a single-built home. But mostly when you get into smaller lots, you're model homes anyway. We found one jurisdiction that did have a few design standards related more to a scenic corridor type of areas, but it was not a widespread thing.
So in large, a lot of communities don't do anything for custom homes.
Correct, yes.
So
thank you.
If I may interject.
Oh, you know, of course. Sorry. We're going to go to Commissioner Posey, sure. And then we'll come back to you.
I just want to, I remember we had a meeting, and I think it was Cresta Morado, I'm thinking right. And they, there was some insults made about they thought this that the town of Oro Valley couldn't because this the scenic corridor one
was the biggie, you know, and they just, they kept complaining about that. And where the town of Boro Valley did not have anything that they could do about it. And they seemed to think that they could, you know, so this might be something that might be good to put something in writing to what you can use. So,
okay, Commissioner Hahn.
So yeah, I was just going to add to that as well. So may not be an issue so much of the designing of a custom homes. It may be more of an issue in which how we regulate development surrounding or within the scenic corridor type of issue, I think. So perhaps we should heighten up or maybe rethink how we regulate our scenic corridor development.
Chairman, may I ask a question? Please help me, staff. Clarify, what is a scenic corridor? What's the boundaries or what's the length and breadth of a scenic corridor?
Let's see here. I do have a scenic corridor slide here. This is my remote. There we go. So this is an example of the Tangerine Scenic Corridor. St. Mark's Church is on the far left-hand side of the town limits there. And so that area and the blue area, that defines the Tangerine, well, a portion of the Tangerine Scenic Corridor. It goes all the way down Tangerine, obviously. So if we applied standards, it would affect lots that we see in that area. And we also have an Oracle Road Scenic Corridor as well.
Why was the boundaries arranged that way? Was that a general plan concept that was developed back in 2016?
Chair Gamble, Member Sturman. It was certainly reviewed for conformance with the general plan when it first was adopted, but it predated this most recent general plan. The Oracle Road Scenic Corridor Overlay District was adopted in 1995, and I believe the Tangerine one was a handful of years after that. So they've been adopted for a while. It conveniently follows some straight lines on the north and south side of Tangerine Road on the image here, and that's because the corridor itself just extends a quarter mile north and south of the roadway, and so depending on how far you are from the actual right-of-way of Tangerine Road and Oracle in that case, it has limits on the things that you can do in terms of building height, how much view corridor you have to preserve, things of that nature. So there was some thought put into where those boundaries needed to go, if that answers your question.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Okay, thank you, Commissioner Sturman, for those questions. Did anybody else have questions? All right, I think we are good. And so we don't have a motion on this. Did any staff have other comments for that?
No, thank you.
All right, then I will turn the time over to Mr. Standish for the planning update, correct?
Thank you, Chair. So for the planning update, we do have a couple of neighborhood meetings coming up. The first, as I think you're aware of, is for the Oro Valley Marketplace. It's a proposed revisions to that shopping center that's going to be held here in the council chambers next Tuesday at 6 p.m. on March 10th. As Ms. Hayes referenced during her presentation, there is going to be a neighborhood meeting regarding these proposed amendments that is tentatively scheduled for March 25th, Wednesday. We'll also be here in the council chambers, as far as I know. So when that date is confirmed, of course, we will send out notification for that. As far as the next commission meeting, that is scheduled for April 7th. and we tentatively have two code amendments on that agenda, one for noise code abatement standards, as well as the development review process. Again, those are tentative, so they may or may not be on there ultimately. And then we do also have a planned area development amendment case to allow grazing in the Rancho Vistoso area, portions of the Rancho Vistoso area. And then lastly, St. Mark's Church, who happens to be on the slide up there, is requesting a sign in the right-of-way, a monument sign in the right-of-way. So those four or five items are tentatively scheduled for that. So thank you, Chair. That concludes my report.
All right. Thank you. We've got lots coming up then. Can I have a motion for adjournment, or do I just make that?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Well, I'll second that. Motion adjourned.